listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Good morning, New Chapel. Good morning. Gosh, we missed you guys so much last week. We had to do a little flip-flop with my brother-in-law, Pastor Brian. I heard he did so awesome. Yeah, I was going to tell you, give it up for him. My husband and I are so grateful to be able to do ministry with Pastor Brian and Naya. They're doing such an awesome job, and they're such a gift to us. And so thank you for cheering. I was going to have you do that anyways, but thank you for that. We hope you guys had a wonderful holiday season. My husband and I sure did. We have three little boys, and right now we're in a season where it's really hard to get dressed. At the same time, there'll be an astronaut and a cowboy, and it switches really quick, too. We have like three trunks of dress-up clothes at our house, and so I just never know what I'm going to get, and I love that about my boys. And in fact, because they're so into dressing up, my husband had an awesome idea for Christmas this year. If you guys would show that little picture that I have, that would be so awesome. Yes. So our boys just got introduced to Star Wars. Any Star Wars fans out there? Woohoo! Yeah. So I kind of thought there'd be a little bit more of you, but I'm just kind of getting into that scene, and so I might call it the wrong thing, but fighter pilot, is that right, honey? X-wing pilots. Okay, I got it wrong for service too, but anyways, so as you can see, those are my two little boys, except it's not them actually sitting in those chairs. That is life-size cutouts of them, because that is how Joe Babalakwa rolls for his kids. So he texts me, and he's like, hey, I need you to take a close-up picture of their face. I need it for their Christmas present. So anyways, on Christmas morning, our boys got to walk down, and they got to see themselves in an X-wing pilot costume. And if you can see, those little jackets are resting on sleds, which are actually their ships. So anyways, those are little like red sled, and those are my boys. And I just think that's so fun. And what I love about my boys is that, like I said, we have costumes that range from construction workers and firefighters to police officers. I mean, we just got, oh, pirates, that's one too. We just have it all. And if you ask my little boys, it's who they are. That is who they are in that moment. And I love that for them. It doesn't really take a lot of convincing. It's not a big deal that they get to dress up like that. It's who they are. They don't just want to be a firefighter or a pilot. It's who they are. Just ask them. Like, that's who they are. And they have no problem living the reality of their little heart's desires. And I just adore that about them. They've got no problem at all with that. But it makes me think about the adults in the room, right? Us. And this time of year, this season, we really get focused on, we're going to try to have our best life. We're going to try to have the life that we know we're called to, make the changes we think we're supposed to make. But we're going to work out more, and we're going to eat out less. We're going to save more. That balance between more and less, right? Some things should be more, some things should be less. We're going to spend more time with those that we love. However, we quickly find that although we've purchased the planner and we've signed up for the financial peace event, that our reality isn't just as optimistic and gracious as we are. Reality doesn't always match up with what we're expecting. We knew last year that there was a real chasm that needed to be dealt with, that we're all going through this. And so we actually had a series last year called A Lot Can Happen in a Year. And this was a series that it was really a statement that God had ministered to me through one of a pastor who I really respect. And also combining that with just some life that we had lived, some seasons that my husband and I had been through. And we thought that would make a great series for the church. So we got really excited about it. We thought we're going to write a book. And we're going to write a book together, and there's going to be a book and a series. It's really going to minister. So we got so excited, we started writing this book. And I'll get to why we don't have that book finished here in a minute, but that was the goal. In that book, there was going to be some very funny stories that weren't so funny then, but we can at least laugh about them now. Has anybody ever had their air ducts cleaned before? Nobody. Okay, so we thought we were going to be real adults, and we were going to get our air ducts cleaned at our home. My husband and I bought a 150-year-old home, living big, down in downtown Grand Rapids, 150-year-old house, and we did our best to just make it look so put together on the inside. It had original hardwood floor, except there was always these nasty dust bunnies just everywhere. No matter how much I vacuumed or swept, they would always pop up. And so somebody suggested, why don't you get your air ducts clean? We thought, yeah, this is a great idea, adulting. So we get a coupon, right, and we have these people come and clean out our air ducts. We have this plan. I'm going to reset the house. It's going to be beautiful and perfect when I leave. And when I come home, I'm going to come home and there's going to be no dust bunnies. It's just going to be ideal. So at the time, I had just had my son, Aurelio, my first son. He was born in October, so he's about 3 months old because this happened in January. We get home, and I'm notorious for not really surveying my scenes, the scene that I'm entering very well. I just kind of like barge in and just like go to town. And so I like rush in the house and I jump on the couch and I'm about to change little Aurelio's diaper. And I go to kind of like put my hand down. And as my hand is resting on the couch, ooh, it feels a little grimy. And I look down and there's dirt all over my hand. And then I continue to look around the rest of the room. And I'm not talking like a little bit of dust. This is like grimy, caked on dirt. Nasty. So I'm just thinking like, oh my gosh, what happened? And so I yell, honey, something happened. And I don't know what happened, but something not good. There's dirt everywhere in our house. And he goes, yeah, I'm kind of looking through the rest of our house. It's literally everywhere. So we begin to like walk through the house. And as we're walking, we're leaving feet indented dirt into the ground, and we're just like, what is happening? We go up the stairs, and in my precious baby's nursery with a like white little clean quilt, that quilt was no longer clean and new. It was black. It was filthy. My white duvet cover that looked so nice when I left that day, nope, it was real dirty, and you could just like touch the bed, and dust and dirt would just fly up. It was like, what is happening? What's going on? And so, to make a very, very long story short, we were displaced out of our home for 16 days, fighting with this company to come. They had accidentally blown everything back into our house from our air ducts instead of taking it out. So, how nasty. What a fluke thing. We paid for this service to make our house cleaner, and instead, now, I'm like sitting in 150-year-old filth. Just like, why am I even breathing in right now, let alone my little baby? You can imagine how it was just awful. I was not a very happy camper. But anyways, we were displaced for 16 days out of our home, and that company still didn't even make it all that right. We kind of had to figure stuff out on our own, but we're good at that. We can handle it. But so there were some funny stories like that in the book that just kind of were like, you know what? Sometimes crazy things in life just happen that are like, is that for real? Like, that wasn't supposed to happen that way. That was so random, right? So this series last year, it was born out of a heart full of hope and encouragement. And as we were getting close to the start of the series and while we were writing the book, it just seemed like, wow, life just keeps on happening. But like not just regular life, the kind of life where it's heart-wrenching and like tragedy. Like it really was hard to not grow weary. There was the temptation to grow weary because of how hard life was becoming. Wow, we're going to preach this encouraging series with our book, right? And so while we were nearing the end of the book, we were almost done, ready to send it off to the publisher, a tragedy struck. My nephew was on leave home from the Marines over in Japan, and he was home surprising his mom for Christmas, surprising all of us, really. And he passed away. Well, I don't care about finishing a book at that point. Do you know what I mean? It was like, that's fine. We'll finish that later. But we put that on hold. And one day we might share some of the other really like movie-esque types things that happened during that season. But that series, we didn't get to have the book. It wasn't everything that we had planned on it being. We had a lot of hopes and dreams for that series and what it was going to minister to the church. But the good thing is we still have that content. We have that book almost finished, and we can't wait until we get to give that to you guys, and it'll really preach then, amen? But as a full year has passed since we started that series, my husband and I, we've talked a lot about what did that season teach us? What did we learn from that? And it's the title of today's message, A Lot Happened in a Year. Can you guys relate to that? A lot happens in a year, right? Well, a lot happened in a year. We've all been there where we really try hard for something. really hard. We want the promotion, so we try really hard for it, or that part in the production. We try really hard to be that spouse that we promised to be, those things that we said we would work on, like we try so hard to fix them. We try to fix that character flaw that we know we have, and but we can't always seem to quite get over it. Or this is me. Every year I try to be the organized person God has called me to be. Oh, I want to be organized so bad. And every year, it's what I try to do. But we attempt, strive, and we fight to accomplish the goal. But then something happens to our soul when it doesn't go accordingly, when our efforts don't match our results. Our hearts get sick when our reality is so painful and mismatched to how it was supposed to be. Like, life wasn't supposed to look like that. It wasn't supposed to go that way. Proverbs 13:12 says this: "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." And I think so many of us get heart sick. Yeah, heart sick. And to me, I feel like that's the worst kind of sick to get, because the Bible says that out of our heart, everything flows from it, like everything. It says that out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth is going to speak, which I'm sure all of us can relate. If we're having a bad day, sometimes the stuff that comes out of our mouth isn't the best. We're quick to snap at those that we love or say things that we don't even mean. It's just we're so full of anger or whatever it is in our heart, that stuff comes out of our mouth that's just not right. Proverbs 4:23. "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Another translation says, all the issues of life flow from our heart. And we've been through some seasons where we've had to make it a priority to guard our hearts, so that way we can have a response for when life happens a little bit differently than what we had planned. So let me preface everything with this. Planning is so good and godly. I believe that we actually need to give God something to work with, give God something to bless, something to count on that we can be striving to achieve. But here's where we can't go wrong. We can't be destroyed when life doesn't go according to plan. Can't be destroyed. But let's work to give God something to bless and to accomplish. We want to live a life that isn't resting on default to just respond to whatever life throws at us. We want to live by design and happen back to life. Like, life's got something for you. Good. You've got something to give right back. So there's a few things that my husband and I, my family, that we have learned to rely on when we're going through hard seasons and when life doesn't go as we planned. And so today, how to have a year that happens back to life. Number one, realize that the good and the bad in life happen simultaneously. I'm going to read that again. Realize the good and the bad happen simultaneously. Now, in Kaya's world, she does not like that very much. I don't think that's how it should work. I'd love if we all got to live a life that was just generally good, where the daily life was good, things were generally good, and then every once in a while, out of the norm, came something that we had to accomplish. Like, wouldn't that be great? In Kaya's world, that's how it should work. But it doesn't. The reality is that while you're celebrating some things at the exact same time, you can feel heartbroken. And as humans, we can find ourselves feeling elated and heartbroken at the exact same time. We can go through a day starting on such a high, and then end on a very low. Just me, right? Like, that happens to me. As I mentioned earlier, we lost our nephew, Michael, just over a year ago. And the last time we saw him, we were at a Christmas party. He's a young kid, 18, 19, and so he wants to be with his friends, but he was trying to, like, love on all of us, and so during that time, or right before we went to the party, we didn't even know he was going to be there, I decide this is a perfect time to take a pregnancy test. This is just perfect. And we're, like, running late for the party, but, like, we have this thing that we don't take a pregnancy test unless it's, like, a significant day. And so, like, the first time we ever took it, it was on Valentine's Day. We found out we were pregnant with Aurelio. So sweet. And so we try to pick significant days. And so I'm thinking, like, hello, Christmas party? Like, I'll never forget it. Meanwhile, my kids are in the car. My husband, they're, like, ready to go to this party. And I'm like, hold on, 3 minutes. I'll be right there. Take a test. Actually, I didn't tell him what I was doing. And so I take this test, and it's positive for our, now we know it was our third little boy. And if you know one thing about Kaya and Joe is that we can't keep anything from each other. Don't tell me any secrets you don't want him to know, because he probably already knows it if you've told me. So sometimes he doesn't even want to know, but I got to get it off my chest. So I have to tell him now. We cannot leave and go to this party without him knowing about this pregnancy. And so I'm like, okay, praise break. Before we go, I have to tell you something. And I did this little thing and told him we were pregnant. And we're so excited. And so we always agree we're going to wait to tell everybody, all that good stuff. And so that night at the Christmas party that we went to, there was Michael. And at the time, Uncle Joe and Michael, they were off in the corner. And I just really felt like God be like, you need to let them have that time, Kai. You take the kids, you take the nieces, you hang out with them. Let Uncle Joe and Michael have some time together. There was real important stuff happening at the time. So while they're over in the corner, I can see some cool stuff happening. And I'm like, oh, praise God, da-da-da-da-da. And come to find out, Uncle Joe had told Michael that we were pregnant. Michael was the very first one to find out that we were expecting our third baby. And just hours later, he would pass away from that moment with Uncle Joe, hours later. So here we are. We're wanting to celebrate this news that we have. Oh, we're expecting a baby. This is so exciting. And then at the exact same time, grieve the loss of our little boy, Michael. We changed diapers, fed bottles, and held his hand, watched him skateboard. Like, this is Michael. And so at the very same time, we're experiencing these very provoking and polar opposite experiences, one so good and one so bad. But that's life. It happens at the same time. Our scenarios, they don't have to be that extreme. I realize that's a pretty extreme one. But we might get a promotion at work, but all the while we're fighting for custody of our kid. Yay, promotion, but gosh, my kid. One child's doing awesome in school, getting awards, and the other one just got suspended. Good and bad. Life can be generally good, but we got a lot of bills adding up, and so we don't know how to enjoy life because we're constantly thinking about that bill, that next thing we have to pay. We don't know how to get out. And so there's just this general diminished effect, diminished feeling to our life. And what I want to say today is life's pretty crazy. Life's hard for all of us. We all have different things we're going through, but I want to shift our perspective. Like, thank God that in the midst of life that is so jacked up, that good things do happen to us, that God is moving and good things are happening to us. Yeah, sometimes while there are heart-wrenching things we go through, but praise God that there is good. He is a good God and good things are happening. Jesus himself promised, as a promise he gave his believers, hey, you're going to go, I promise you, through trials and tribulations, but I want you to be of good cheer because I have overcome. And so we don't have to stay. We don't have to stay there in that trouble, but we do have to realize that through Jesus, we can overcome. You know, I think of Mary and Martha, two sisters who had the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine? One took Jesus up on that offer. She was quick to get on her knees and be at Jesus' feet, while the other one was so distracted by a to-do list, distracted by things she had to get done that seemed important at that time. Don't wait until everything is perfect to experience or to see the goodness of God, because you're going to miss it. You'll miss it if you don't stop and realize that God is on the move doing good things in your life. How to have a year that happens back to life number two, when life feels good and when life feels bad. Get as close to Jesus as possible. As close as possible. My husband and I have been through seasons where we're sitting on the couch at the end of our day, and we look at each other and we say, it's you, me, and Jesus. And to be honest, there's been times where that's literally all that we have. We don't have money. We don't have the answers. We don't have the solutions. We might not even know what to do next. But we have you, me, and Jesus, and that's enough. And that is enough. We've gotten real comfortable being uncomfortable, getting cozy with Jesus on the couch. We've learned that when we give God what we have, that he has a way of leveraging it into our life if we let him. And so we've gotten good at that. But how in the world do I get close to Jesus, Kaya? How do I do that? One of the people who I look up to immensely in ministry, she tells stories of how there have been seasons in her life where the only way that she's been able to sleep at night is to hold her Bible close to her chest. She'll sleep with it on her chest. And that is where she reminds herself. She'll repeat the word of God over and over again, and she's able to fall asleep holding her Bible. And that may sound extreme to some of you, like, why in the world would you do that? But I know that I've been guilty of going to sleep with Netflix in my arms, or ice cream in my arms, Facebook in my arms, Instagram in my arms, my phone in my arms, looking for some sort of distraction or comfort from this thing. When's the last time that the Word of God was your go-to, like a better go-to to get your mind off of what you were going through than your phone? When's the last time? Because we're all looking to really distract ourselves. If I'm honest, when I'm on my phone, I don't even care what I'm looking at. I don't even care what's on there. I'm just scrolling. I'm just looking. And it's to distract myself from a current reality or a current situation. And I think that I can, you know, scroll or look or whatever it is and not think about my situation. But what if we began to look at God's word and be like, nope, that's going to help me course correct. That's the only thing that's going to get me out of something. It's actually going to do something. Because while we can know in our heads that God's word, it shows us that he's closer than the air that we breathe. Try this with me for a second. Put your hand in front of your face and breathe or talk. Say your name even. When you do that, you can feel your breath on your hand. God is closer than the air that we breathe. That's what his word says. But sometimes getting close to Jesus just looks like becoming aware of that. See, this building that we're in right now, New Chapel, it wasn't always a church. This used to be a dance studio, I think, at one point. It was a grocery store. It's been a repurposed kind of like restore type thing, a Rite Aid before we were in it. But the thing about it is God was hovering over this piece of land forever, before we were ever here. He's never gone anywhere. He's always been here. He knew the beginning from the end. He knew that every place what this would be before it would be New Chapel, and he was still there. The difference is we became aware. God's called that old Rite Aid that's abandoned. It's supposed to be a church. Our awareness has to change. So I have found there's one really easy way to get close to Jesus, and it's to be involved in what Jesus is involved in. Find out what he's into and then team up with that. I shared this the last time I preached that Jesus died to establish his church. Jesus' desire was for you to come into a place with other believers and connect and grow together. He died so that you'd be here today to connect to the local church. So the local church is a great place to start. If you're visiting today, when you get back home, get plugged into your church. If it's your first time here at New Chapel today, welcome home. Give us three tries, that's what we say, because you're going to find every week isn't the same here, and you might not like me, but you might like Pastor Joe next week, right? So give us three tries. See if we're your home church, but I encourage you, wherever your home church is, get plugged in. What does that look like here at New Chapel? If you're part of New Chapel, participate in the programming. I'm going to encourage you, if you'd call New Chapel your home, start serving. Because we believe in the gift that God has inside of you. It could be to pour coffee or to hold babies and teach them about Jesus. Whatever that is, we need your gift here. So jump into the programming. Attend New Chapel Connect. Join a small group. Position yourself to encounter Jesus. Because just some of those things that I mentioned earlier, those are the ways that Jesus is on the move here at New Chapel. So get connected and position yourself to encounter him. Because if we don't put ourselves in the position to encounter Jesus, we won't experience the miracle. Like, he can't do it. I preached last time about blind Bartimaeus. See, blind Bartimaeus, he got close to Jesus and he received his sight. The woman with the issue of blood, she got close to Jesus and she became healed. The man who was hanging next to Jesus on the cross, Jesus said, I'll see you in paradise. He got close to Jesus. And the things that these people did, they were sort of obvious things to do. It wasn't hard. It doesn't have to be hard, but I want to encourage you in this. No matter what you're going through in this season right now, no matter what kind of year you've had, just one encounter with Jesus, one encounter can change everything in an instant. So hang on, hold tight, one encounter with him, get close to Jesus, because one experience with him can change it all like that. Amen. Number three, have a prevailing sense of where you're going in life. If you're anything like my personality, which I'm a number six on the Enneagram, Whoop, whoop, that's called a loyalist. I'm still learning about it, but anyways, that's who I am. My personality type, I really have a hard time sometimes like seeing past my nose, okay? So I'm not very good at planning for the future or being like a visionary. However, I love, love, love teaming up with people who are doing that. It's why I'm married to my husband. I saw like, this guy can see like invisible things. Like he does things that seem impossible to me. This is so awesome, I need to be connected to that. So while my personality type is one way, I'm so attracted to the complete opposite of me. And something that seriously changed my life forever was when I met my husband and he would say this statement to me. I haven't put him up on the screen for me because I wanted you to see what he said. Kai, I know what it looks like right now, but I know where we're going. That did something to my soul because you see, he would say this to me in seasons of poverty where our life didn't look like God's best for us. He would tell me this when he had holes in his shoes. I didn't know this at the time, but he'd get real cranky when it was raining outside. Well, he had no soles on the bottom of his shoes. I'd be cranky with wet feet. Now he's got cool shoes. Anyways, in seasons of not enough for the bills and for the date, for that vacay, or even for the wedding. Yeah, we don't have enough for that. Not enough for the clothes, for the wants, or for a nice car. He would say, Kai, I know what it looks like right now, but I know where we're going. Whew, that did something to my soul. I realized that my current reality, that did not have to foreshadow my destiny. That God had something awesome for me. God's word says in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you would have life and life abundant. Abundant sounds good to Kaya. How about you guys? So God had a plan for me that was an abundant life, and I should begin to see myself headed towards that direction, realizing that while I may be in a temporary season that doesn't look like how I want my life to end up, that's all right. I know where I'm going. I'm not staying here. A favorite of ours around here, Habakkuk 2:2. I think I said it right. And the Lord answered me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. Write the vision and make it plain. Why? You need to know where you're going because there are going to be a ton of things to distract you in your life. There are going to be so many things that are going to tempt you to get off course, to make you think you're not headed where you thought you were going. There's going to be so much to distract you. But if you can know where you're going, those circumstances, they're not going to rock your world. You can go through a bad day, a bad week, and even a bad year, and it won't destroy you because you have a prevailing sense of where you're going and what God has called you to do. So I think we need to ask ourselves some questions to help us get on that track. What kind of marriage do you want to have? What kind of family do you want to have? What does the relationship between you and your kids look like? What kind of influence? Are you a person who feels like you're called to influence? And I'm not talking about like Instagram influencers, ew. I'm talking about real influence. Are you called to that? What does that look like for you? Even what do you want your holidays to look like? Do you host them? Who do you give gifts to? Do you have a vision for what you want your daily life and your years to look like? Where do you want to practice more generosity? You need to write the vision and make it plain. As a church, we like to do that. Right now, we're in a campaign called Our Next Move, and we're so grateful to those of you who have pledged and partnered and given towards that. We're so excited to be partnering with you guys to reach the next generation. See, the next generation matters to us at New Chapel, and we've tried to make it very clear what our vision is. It's to reach the next generation. And the last week of this month, I'm really looking forward to this. Pastor Joe is going to be sharing some vision that's really going to encourage you guys. But the key to get all of the rest of the points right is point number four. How to have a year that happens back to life. Number four, fidelity to God needs to be the instructor to every step you take. Fidelity to God. That is a powerful word that we don't use nearly too often. And when we do, it's kind of often like regarding, you know, fidelity to your marriage. But here's the definition of fidelity. Strict observance of promises and duties. Loyalty. Adherence to fact or detail. accuracy and exactness. I like the sound of that, fidelity to God. We agree that a lot happens in a year, yeah? Well, there's going to be a lot of good opportunities that come to you in a year that will not be God opportunities. There may be nothing bad about it that comes your way, but God is not just in the absence of bad. He's not even in the presence of good. That's not a God thing. A God thing is when your future and your children's future and your children's children's future are connected to it. A God thing has your prayers and strangers' prayers tied to it. A God thing has solutions for issues you didn't even know existed in other parts of the world connected to it. It has other people's eternities connected to a God thing. See, with God, no decision where you live, where you work, it's all relative. God has a plan in it, and a God thing is much different than a good thing. I've obeyed God before, but I also haven't thrived in some of my obedience. Can anyone relate to that? I've obeyed, but it could have worked out a lot better for me. I've told this story, a little bit of it before, and so bear with me if you've already heard it. But when I was 18, God called me to go to Bible school. And to say the least, I was not very thrilled. I didn't want to move 1,000 miles away and leave the comfort of my friends and family. I was a homebody. I wanted to be home. I didn't want to go, but I wanted to obey. And while I was there, I found it to be the most lonely time of my entire life. Although people wanted to be my friend, although people wanted to draw things out of me, I felt paralyzed. I didn't even know how to be who God had called me to be. I actually didn't even know how to be myself anymore. Giftings? Oh, gosh, if you would have asked me then, I'm good at nothing. I'm good for nothing. I really just, no, I've got nothing to offer. And I remember praying and being like, God, what are you doing? What in the world? This just does not seem like God. I'm miserable here. And I was like, God, you got to change my heart. Something's got to break here because this is not kind of how I pictured my life. And so God ministered to me, and then fast forward a little bit, we're in a pool, my husband and I at our apartment complex, and God, like, speaks to us while we're swimming. It's the funniest thing. Like, if we need to hear from God, like, let's just go find some water. I mean, like, God will speak to us. So we were swimming, and I found myself over in the corner by myself, and God was just really doing his thing. God was speaking to me, and I had this moment with God where I said, God, if you call me to stay in Tulsa, Oklahoma forever, like if I never even get to go home again, if I never get to visit Michigan, if I'm here forever, I'll do it for you. I will do it because I want to obey. I want your best for me, not my own, and I'll do it for you, God. Okay, praise the Lord. Well, within 2 weeks of that prayer, God brought me back to Michigan. He brought us to our next step. We had a youth pastoring job up in Michigan on the east side of the state. We began youth pastoring, and God was so faithful, and I could see how that heart change in me really unlocked some things that our family needed unlocked, but it was a heart thing in Kaya that was holding us back. We get to the east side of the state, we begin youth pastoring, we show up to this church, and we're so excited to love on these kids. And then we find out they have got these kids going to church in this nasty, oh, just gross old building. You know, the one that has the musty smells. The furniture that they had was like side of the road furniture that was like wet and moldy. Maybe not that bad. It seemed that way to me. Awful smells, awful fluorescent lighting. And we were like, no, how are we supposed to influence our city and impact these kids? Who's going to want to bring anybody to this place? We're the pastors and don't want to be here. Yuck. And so we decided we're gonna build a youth facility. We're gonna make it state-of-the-art. We're gonna have all the lights and sounds and tech, and we're gonna have a game room for these kids, and they're gonna have video games, and they're gonna have a place, a cafe. They're gonna have a place to bring their friends to and really see the goodness of God, see that the church takes them serious. And so we start building this youth facility. And at this time, God spoke to us and said, build my house, and I'll build yours. Well, hallelujah, we receive. We thought, wonderful, we're beginning this facility over here, so we're supposed to get rooted and planted here on the east side of the state. And so we call a realtor from our church, and we start looking, and we find the house. This is a dream starter home. Only one other family had lived there before. It was like 5 years old. It was beautiful. It was in Roseville, Michigan. I even love roses. I thought that's so cute. Roseville, this is great. We put a down payment down. We paid to have it inspected, all these things. In a week before we were supposed to close on the house, I had this holy unrest. Like, oh, I just don't feel like we're supposed to live there. But God said, I'm going to build your house if you build my house. And so I feel like we're supposed to do it. And it was really confusing. But I just felt like it was something I couldn't hold back from my husband. And so a week before we're supposed to sign the papers, I say, honey, I feel like we're not supposed to buy this house. And he said, awesome, confirmation. That's why I've been feeling that way too. And I was like, relief, because I thought, oh gosh, I'm about to drop this massive bomb on him, you know. Oh, but no, God had already been speaking to him. He had spoke to both of us. And so we called our realtor, and she was a Christian. She understood, but she said, you know, you're going to lose all your money that you put in. And at the time, I forget how many thousands of dollars, but that was a lot of money for us at the time. And we said, it's worth it. Like, we can't afford to disobey God. We can't do it. And so if we lose money, that's fine. Get us out. We can't be there. Well, here's what we found out. The reason why God wasn't calling us to build a house over there. God had called us to New Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan, on the west side of the state, not the east side. Now, like I said, that was a dream house for us, but I have a feeling it would have been a little bit harder to sell than what we thought it would be if we would have had to. So God was giving us this word, and we wanted to do a good, right thing, but that house, it wasn't a God thing for us. It was a great opportunity, but it wasn't God. And what that situation taught me is I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus above opportunity. I choose him above preference, and I choose him above a current convenience. I'm just going to choose Jesus. I might be uncomfortable sometimes or feel like, what am I doing? I don't care. I can't afford to disobey God. I can't afford it. I know that we've all had years that stick out to us for unfortunate reasons. I've got one of those years too. I'm picking this year because it's far enough away where there's a little bit of closure to it. You know how sometimes you're still kind of connected to some of the parts of the years that stick out to you, but this one, it's pretty much over, and so I feel like I can share it. But one of the worst years of my life was 2013. From January 1st to December 31st, awful, 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 awful. I didn't like that year very much. See, it started the very first day of the year. We got the left foot of fellowship from our church because they found out they want to start a church. Ooh. Our house was broken into. Wedding rings stolen, money stolen. Kai was real naive back then. I kept money like just in a drawer. Yeah, that all got taken. On Easter Sunday, we're celebrating church and we're driving home and our car breaks down on the expressway on our way to Easter dinner. Awesome. The person who was supposed to fix our car stole the money that we gave him and left our car gutted in the street. Awesome. No car now. The location for the church fell through. We had planned and spent thousands of dollars on a particular location for New Chapel, and we got told, we don't want any churches here anymore. That's a load. Okay. Moving on. All of the church's technical equipment was stolen. iPads for the kids, laptops that had graphic and work on it that we had worked so hard on got stolen. Thanksgiving was spent in the hospital with my mom. And then Christmas was spent in the hospital with my mom. And then my mom died on Christmas. And then on the way home, mourning, crying, our tire popped. It's frigid cold, and our tire just pops on the expressway. Awesome. That's the last thing you want to deal with. And then right after that, my father-in-law ended up in the hospital and almost died right after my mom. People broke their word to us. We had people promise us the world, promise us their help, promise us their hands, and they abandoned us, left us. We totaled a car. Nobody believed in us, and we had no money. Woop, woop. Rough year. Just rough. A lot happened that year. But with every blow, it was really interesting. We just kept on falling back on what we knew. God's good. Yeah, this blows. This is an awful year. We would even say that. Like, this stinks. Everything about this sucks. Hate it. Hate every part of it. But God's good. And I am not going to let this define the rest of my life. This season is not my forever. We're not staying here. We know where we're going. The rest of my life does not look like the year 2013. No way. And so although we were going through hell, it hurt. We kept on falling back and being reminded, God's good. God's got us. We can do this. God's plans for us are good and not evil. We're going to get through. Because also in 2013, God blessed us with our first home together. In that home, we were able to start New Chapel. We had our very first meetings of the church, our very first like little small group meetings where we talked about the vision. We found a location in 2013 to start New Chapel. The money that we needed, somehow, $100,000, came through to start New Chapel. What we realized was, oh yeah, 2013 was a pretty hard year. We planted the church in 2013. See, the enemy wanted to destroy New Chapel before it even started. He thought, let's make Kaya and Joe's life absolutely miserable because then they'll give up on God. I want to say something else, but I'm going to say, forget that. No. Try me. God is faithful. He is so good. He has never forsaken us. Yes, we have gone through hard things just like you guys. So many of you in the room right now are going through heart-wrenching things, but God is ever present in your time of need. He is here. He is here. My husband and I have asked each other, would you do that again? Like, would we do it all over? Now that we know what it takes, like, would you do it? Answer honest. Yes. 100%. Confidently. Because while we were going through the most intense year of our life up until that point, we knew that God's word says he works all things together for good for those that seek him. And you know what? We were seeking God. And so while our life did not look like how we wanted it to look, we weren't going to stay there. God was not going to forsake us. When you're connected to God, you don't have to make the discernment between a good year, a bad year, a so-so year. You can just live your life. You can live your life trusting God, trusting in the God who makes beauty from ashes. He can make dead things come to life. He can make old, nasty things brand new. Wow. If you're experiencing a year like my 2013 or a season kind of like that, let me encourage you. A lot can happen in a year. So much can change. A lot of good can happen in a year, in an instant. Jesus can change it all. But to get through any year, you're going to have to have Jesus in your life. You're going to need to know him. And so if you're in here today and you don't know him, today I want to give you the opportunity to do that. We're going to say a prayer together as a church, everybody out loud. We don't want to single anybody out, but we're going to give you the opportunity to repeat this prayer and invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life, to start life with Jesus. You don't have to do it on your own, and really to get through any season, you need him. You need to get close to him. Would you guys bow your heads and pray with me, please? Repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for receiving me. In Jesus' name.
Wow. Can we give it up for Kaya? What an awesome message. Listen, I'm so proud of you. If you did say that prayer for the very first time, great job. We're not going to single you out, just like what Kaya said, but I do want to get some information into your hand. If you accepted Christ in here today, in that little worship guide, that connection card, fill out that top little bit of information and check the box that says that I accepted Christ. I want to send you a letter talking about next steps in your faith that you can take. You're going to wake up Monday morning and be like, I accepted Christ. Now what? I want to help you with that by giving you the what to do. And so I'm proud of that decision. Make sure that you fill it out. Church, can we give it up to those people one more time? Great job. Hey, stand up on your feet, gang. We're doing something a little bit different this month. For the first time in 6.5 years, New Chapel Connect is changing. If you've ever attended the class, it's 4 parts. We're going from a 4-part class to a 2-part class. And here's the reason why. God's really challenged the leaders at New Chapel about the way that we do discipleship. And we had a great primer for discipleship in New Chapel Connect. We needed something that really was going to shore up foundations and really show people how they can grow in their faith. And so here's what we're doing. We're going to have New Chapel Connect still. It's going to go from four parts to two. That is true. But in the beginning of February, we're going to start an eight-week program. It's really a small group that's going to be here on Tuesday nights called New Chapel. We couldn't think of a name, so we call it New Chapel Grow. Come on, somebody. That's a pretty good name. And so if you want to grow in your faith, maybe shore up foundation, like I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, but I don't know everything that I'd like to know. In the month of February, Pastor Brian and I at church, and Tuesday nights at 6:30, we're going to be meeting with you, going through the basics of faith. And then also, if you've never gone to New Chapel Connect, on the third week of this month, we're going to start part one, and then on the fourth week, part two of New Chapel Connect, the new way that we're going to be doing it. Make sure that you jump in. If you want to take a next step in your faith to join the church, New Chapel Connect. If you want to grow in your faith, New Chapel Grow, starting in February. Amen, somebody? Hey, I want to pray for you guys before we go to the rest of our weekend. Can we just give it up one more time for my wife? She did a great job. Awesome. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. And as you go, have a great weekend, guys.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.